is Barbara Gracie from Saginaw Valley College. This is a tape recording for the Oral History Department. The interview with Mr. Dan Fitzgerald of the Wicks Corporation.
There. Emblem. Now, Wicks actually was all machine shop. They didn't have a lumbering emblem, did they?
Well, they produced sawmills for the lumbering industry.
Oh, they did have sawmills.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, and all my
research... produced... They produced gang saws, which were used in sawmills.
Oh, well, you know, on all the research I couldn't find... I noticed this was quite good, this Wicks. I noticed this is a stock exchange market, but I couldn't find any place, and I even read that new book that's out about log marks, and I couldn't find the Wicks, this W-I-X.
You know, we have a film telling the history of Wicks Corporation.
Dude, that would be very interesting.
Would you like to see it?
I would.
This might be.
What's the connection in between this Wicks log mark and the Wicks
on
the stock market?
Absolutely. The Wicks Corporation in the early days moved from Flint. At that time, they did not call it Flint. They called it. Genesee, some township or community or some such thing as that. And the great grandfather of Ryan Wicks and his brother moved up here. That was Henry D. and the name of the other. Man escapes me, his brother. At any rate, they came to Saginaw, and they started to produce, the reason they came to Saginaw was because it was the end of the railhead, and they were trying to get as far into the lumbering operation as they could. They were producing, among other things, gang saws, which were used by the loggers.
That's what I couldn't find out. I figured it must have some connection.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, some of the gang saws produced by Wicks are still in operation out on the west coast of the United States.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What was the two brothers then that moved here?
Henry D. and Dick Dell's the other fellow's name. Yeah. Doesn't it show in there?
I couldn't find it in all the writing. It mentioned the coming from Flint in 1854. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize they had started in Flint.
Yeah,
although it was natural because the river was there.
Well, and then they ran the railhead up as far as Saginaw. And that's why they came to Saginaw, so they get closer to the trees.
Right.
And set up their shop here. Dolores.
Yeah. Right. Like the National Observer report from last month. For this week? Well, when did you join Wicks Corporation, Mr. Fitzgerald?
I came with Wicks May Day, believe it or not, 1942, from Detroit. I had been here doing the audit for the accounting firm of Librand Ross Brothers Montgomery. And I think it was... in January of 1940, that I had my first connection with Wicks. We had a very involved tax case, and it took quite a bit of time. And one day, Mr. Wicks came in and said, "You know, I think it'd be a lot cheaper if you were working directly for me instead of working for Librands, and I'm paying Librands probably double what you're worth." So that's how I happened to come with the Wicks Corporation. The assignment went something like, "I don't really know what you're going to do around here, but you got to report to me, and I think we need you." So that's how I started.
That makes sense. Started way back then, economizing, huh? Well, then you were here when the company first started joining things together with the Boiler Corporation and the U.S. Graphite.
I was here before. It was in 1947, October 1947, that we formed the Wicks Corporation, actually created that entity. In December of 1947, the Wicks Boiler Company and the Wicks brothers and the United States Graphite Company were merged into the Wicks Corporation. And Wicks Corporation stock was listed on the then New York Curb Exchange, subsequently became the American Exchange. And we delisted the United States Graphite Company stock. That's how we got a listed stock. And in 1961, we moved from the American Exchange to the New York Stock Exchange. And funny thing about that particular affair, all the directors went down there, and we had a luncheon. Mr. Wicks was supposed to go, but unfortunately, he became ill and was unable to attend the meeting. So instead of he making the speech, I had to make the speech. Only I didn't know there was a speech required. Like that day.
It was Edward.
It might be interesting for you to have a look at it. It does. It does come up to. Let's see.
Him before.
Who?
Joseph McMullen.
McMullen. Joe McMullen, yeah.
He's evidently the one.
He's the guy that came up with the idea of supermarketing lumber building supplies. He was working for the Woolahans. They had five country elevators. And we acquired the elevators sometime before 1950. I can't remember exactly when. And he had for years been trying to get somebody to let him do this. Well, we had we've acquired a warehouse in Bay City, and it was a very intelligent acquisition. We only had to pay 50 cents a square foot. That was government surplus. And since it was such a bargain, very much like a woman, why we couldn't resist it and bought it. We didn't know what we were going to do with it. Well, Joe went up there and
that's
operation up. And he then came to the board and asked the board for permission to spend $15,000. Well, because the money had already been spent, so there was great deliberation, you know. This is the silliest thing I've heard of. Great deliberation, and we get about halfway through the thing, and we don't know whether we want to or not. Joe says, well, you might as well agree. I've already spent the money. That's how we got into business.
And that was in Bay City, then, the first one.
That was in Bay City.
And that was the start of all this whole lumbering all over the country.
Yeah, we brought carloads of lumber building materials in there, and we just couldn't stock the place. It was impossible. They bought it right off the cars. And Mr. Wicks was told that I was going to ruin the whole company because I was selling the stuff too cheap. So we raised prices, and it still kept on going. We raised prices again, it still kept on going. And we were making quite a bit of money, much more than we should have as a retailer. But we were 25 to 30% anybody else. And we were still making more money than we should have. Then we opened up in a town called Rootstown near Akron, Ohio. And it took us 9 to dock the place. And the reason it took us that long, we were able to spot 12 cars in that particular outlet. People would come in and take it right off the cars. We never did get it into the warehouses.
You didn't even have to hire our loaders.
Well, it was just absolutely unbelievably fabulous. We got up to almost 9 million sales in one lumber yard. Well, that's absolutely impossible. You can't keep records. You can't do anything. It's a chaotic condition. At any rate, that's how it got started. We weren't so dang bright. We were just awfully lucky. We hit the nail right on the head.
But it was a need. Well, you can't. Actually, now Saginaw maybe is where you started, but actually, you just like Ford, you've kind of spread all over the whole country, over the whole world, I would imagine, by now.
Yes, we have operations in Holland. We'll be opening in England in September. We're presently trying to acquire land in Belgium. We hope to be going into Germany. Yeah, we'll be all over.
What is the main theme now of the company now? Is it still the
lumber
supermarket?
Building supply. Never let anybody knock that. That's very important. Constant expansion of that. We're also in, as you know, into the retailing of furniture. Matter of fact, our cover this year shows a light. This light is 150 feet in the air, and it lights the parking lots of these furniture operations, furniture retail stores. They open at 10 in the morning, and they close at 10 at night, 7 days a week, where they allow us to open on Sunday. This has a tendency of lighting the whole parking lot, and it gives it a golden glow. It's very, very pretty. The man who designed this is the fellow who designed the lighting for the United Nations building. Abe Ford, I think, is his name. Maybe it's in here. No, unfortunately, it's not. But this has an elevator that you can go up in.
The
elevator goes right up the pole. There's a single pole that holds this whole basket.
And the elevator's inside the pole?
No, the elevator's on the outside, sitting on the ground, and you ride it up the side of the pole. And then, of course, you can reach all the lights.
Change the lights. Yeah.
Now, you can see the furniture store here. Maybe there's a picture inside.
Is this like the new one they have down about near Detroit? Or is it Warren or Sterling Heights?
Warren, yeah.
Warren, yeah.
Yeah. That's going to open the 28th of this month. This is a warehouse, and it's 33 feet high. And they have, I think it's 6 tiers. And you simply go around and pick it off on these large lift trucks.
Just like in a grocery supermarket.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah. The same thing we have in our lumber building supplies, exactly the same idea except for furniture instead of lumber building supplies. I don't want to take this thing over. I want to do it the way you want it done.
No, this is fine. But, I mean, all of this is a history. Actually, you know, anything that happened from yesterday on is history of Wicks Corporation. It all concerns the...
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to say for sure. I mean, actually, the most important part here, I had the beginnings of the supermarket concept came after the Second World War. Right, and we've talked about that. Now, I noticed it said this $15,000 experiment ended up with Wicks being the largest retailer in this line.
Yeah, we are the largest.
In the world. No, it's in the world and one place in the state. I would imagine the world because Michigan is...
Yeah, we are the largest retailer of lumber and building supplies in the world. There isn't anybody that... closest competitor... Our closest three competitors are not as big as Wicks. We buy more lumber than anybody else in the world, and of course building materials as well. Now, when I say that, Weyerhaeuser, for example, will process more. They don't buy any. They manufacture it from the tree itself. But for somebody in the marketplace to buy, there isn't anybody that buys as much as we do all over the world. We're buying now for the European market in Sweden, in Africa, Yugoslavia, some from the States, but primarily for the European markets we buy there.
It's a long jump from back in the days when they had the Wicks log mark and making...
Yes. Yeah, it's quite a ways.
Making saws.
Matter of fact, the lumber building supply operation this year should, hopefully, sales should pass a half a billion. And back there when we started, I don't think we had a, we got 5 little yards when we acquired Willahan, and they were connected with the grain elevators. And I think we had sales about a half a million. So from that beginning of a half a million, now we have a half a billion.
A figured it out. Someplace I saw, I think it was even you, I quoted that he, in 1975, your goal is a billion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the rate you're going this year, according to this, you should make it.
$614 million last year. We hope to... in this coming year to get as much as $800 million. That'd be 73. January 73 is our year end. So we have 74 and 75, and all we need is a couple hundred million. Now that doesn't sound.
No, but I mean, unless there's a big recession, there's no reason why.
No, we're going to make it.
Because all these people coming up have to have houses. And if you go through Detroit, you can see they're tearing them down, but they're not building them.
Yeah. Well, Detroit's a pretty good market.
I mean, the city of Detroit.
Pretty good market, though. At any rate, I agree. I think we'll make our goal. And by the way, we set that goal in 19... We had about 19... It seems to me it was 60, 63, 64, something like that. We had a quarter of a billion in sales, $256 million.
Well, that's pretty good. Is there anything that... as you look back over the corporation, are there any interesting little things that would not be in writing any place that you'd like to comment on concerning the corporation itself or Saginaw?
Well, of course, Saginaw is my home. I've lived 62 years, 30 of them right here. And as the woman always says to her husband, I have given you the best years of my life. The best years of my life were right here in Saginaw, 30 years. I suppose the thing I ought to tell you is Rand Weeks himself. He's a very unusual man. I don't think I could have worked for anybody else. When I say that, he gave you the opportunity completely, and he then never interfered with the operation. If you were doing your job to the best of your ability, he would never interfere with you. If you were not doing your job, why he didn't want you around. So I guess all I can say is that I did a pretty good job of fooling him for 30 years.
Yes, he is. I know I've got a note here that as Ford is to Detroit and Dow is to Midland, it seems as if Wicks is to Saginaw. And this is Randall Wicks you were commenting
about. Yeah, he's Randall Wicks. He's the man that permitted the operation that we now see the Wicks Corporation. Without his approval, none of this could have been done. And his even today, he'll be 83 September the 1st, and I'm talking to him about expansion, and I'm talking about 5-10 years down the road as to exactly what we're going to do. And he said, well, I can't see why you can't increase it. After all, we do have to get moving. If we're going to get going 10 or 15 years from now, well, this is great when you're 82 going on 83 and you think and talk like that. This is the man. And I don't think Saginaw has ever had or ever will have anybody that's more thoughtful about the people in this community. He said he's an outstanding citizen. I don't know why he didn't fire me a long time ago. Because he and I have had the worst kind of fights, most of which I lost.
But you're still here.
But I'm still here, yeah. Maybe that's why I'm still here, because I lost.
Right, well, that's true. If you'd have won, that would have been bad. I notice he's, speaking of Mr. Wicks again, I noticed that he's contributed to the community charitably, too.
Yes, he's set up, as you probably know, the Harvey Randall Wicks Foundation, to which he's given considerably of his fortune. And this is used primarily, with very, very few exceptions, for the Saginaw County and the people within the county. He likes to involve himself in capital projects, taking the position that to get a building for people is a difficult job to begin with. This requires a large contribution of capital, and he's devoted himself primarily to that. As you know, he's probably the most unsung donator in the history of Saginaw. You hear about all these other people, but his gifts every month amount to pretty substantial amounts. Yeah, he's to Saginaw what Charles S. Mott is to Flint. Now, I appreciate Mr. Mott is endowed with many millions more, but to the extent of his ability, he, Mr. Wicks, is the same thing to Saginaw. You know, there's been a lot of talk about us moving to San Diego, mm-hmm. and a lot of criticism, and most of it very, very unfair. We have to get out of the hair of operations. We've got the corporate offices sitting right on top of the operational offices. Well, how would you like to have a bunch of experts showing you how to run the store? This is about what it amounts to. Now, as soon as you get those experts out of it, I think the boys running the store will relax.
It's just like trying to teach school with the Board of Education right there in the same building, huh?
Right. Yeah, it's a good example. Yeah, how would they like that? And as a practical, it just doesn't work. These fellas that are running the operations, they've got to be left alone. If they can't be left alone, then they shouldn't be given the responsibility. And it's just that simple, I think.
Right. Well, now that Wicks has spread out so much, really, it makes sense to have main offices and two opposite parts, actually.
Yes. Yes, in an entirely different community. Mm-hmm. Now, we could have moved the operations themselves, but this would be very, very expensive. Moving the carpet offices, we're moving 30 or 40 people. Moving the others, we're moving maybe 1,500 people. And I need to tell you, that's we just couldn't afford to move.
Right. Plus, you're moving all these whole families out of their roofs, too.
That's right, yeah. So the logical thing is to move the carpet offices. And decentralization is very important to the operation.
Right.
As I said of Mr. Wicks, he gave you a responsibility and then he left you alone and gave you a chance to do your thing. Well, that's what we've got to do with our operations.
Right. Can't handle everything from Saginaw.
That's right. Incidentally, would you like to look at that phone?
I really would. I don't know how much it takes. I guess it's almost over here.
It's almost over?
Right. I'm not very mechanical.